This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Market Talk, where we offer a piping hot take on what's front of mind in financial markets. I'm Max Julius, Head of Content, and I'm delighted to be joined by Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research in Hong Kong. Ben, welcome to the pod and good afternoon.
Hi, Max. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Very well. It's a short week here in Hong Kong. We've got a holiday on Thursday, so I've taken Friday off. So I'm already a long way through it.
That's great. Well, today we're going to take a look at the ongoing flurry of central bank speak, the outlook for equity market leadership, and some potentially market-moving events later this week. So, Ben, we've heard a lot of Fed speakers of late. Have we learned anything new about the central bank's moderately hawkish turn? And how did the Bank of England's comments last week play into that narrative about eventual policy tightening?
Yeah, I don't think we've learned anything particularly new over the last few days. I think, you know, the Fed basically took away that tail risk, which was the possibility that they just decide that, you know, they were going to keep policy as loose as possible forever and almost, you know, forget about their inflation targeting goals. But in turning a little bit hawkish, they basically said, no, we're going to focus on inflation. We're going to focus on growth. If it's strong, if inflation starts accelerating, we're going to tap the brakes. So that tail risk that they were going to be a little bit crazy, which was obviously a small risk, but there's a possibility there, that's sort of gone away. And I guess that's the reason why, you know, we've seen the market reaction that we have, which is, you know, longer dated yields a little bit lower, shorter dated yields a little bit higher. So maybe a little bit more hawkish in the short term, but long term, you know, they're going to keep inflation under control. That's the plan. The Bank of England was pretty similar, I think. They basically said that the economy is doing a bit better than what could have been the case, the worst case. And, you know, they're sounding a little bit more positive, but they haven't changed the policy. They're still saying that we're going to continue to be supportive. There's still a long way to go before the recovery is going to come fully due. But like I said, they're a little bit more optimistic. So, you know, they were the third out of the sort of three that we're looking quite closely at, the Federal Reserve, the ECB and the Bank of England, and they've all basically done the same thing. A little bit more positive, but no change to the supportive policy.
Obviously, we saw a lot of similarity in approach following the in the wake of the COVID crisis. Should we now expect those major central banks to go their own way going forward?
It's going to depend on fiscal policy, I think. So we know that one of the big things that happened last week was that there was some sort of agreement between different politicians in the US to get part of what President Biden wants done from an infrastructure basis. I mean, it's still not totally done. There's still a lot of hurdles to go through. But it sounds as though the Republicans have agreed on a part of the infrastructure plan. And that infrastructure plan is going to be boosting the economy, I guess. You know, that's the whole point about it. So from that perspective, the US growth, US economy is looking pretty robust. The UK, we also know, is going to be boosting with fiscal policy. That's fairly loose. Europe's the question mark. You know, are the more sort of fiscally hawkish elements of Europe, maybe the sort of northern European areas, are they going to allow continuous loose fiscal policy in the south, let's say in Italy and Spain? Are they going to continue to allow that, or are they going to ask them to rein it in again? And that's going to be the case. We're looking at this right now from an investment perspective. That's going to be so important over the next year or two. Right now, though, I think everyone is the same. Everyone is reopening, aren't they, with the virus, hoping that this Delta variant doesn't get too strong. But you know, everything is looking up at the minute, at least.
Right. Well, our next question is related absolutely to this point. Does the recent move in growth stocks versus cyclicals suggest a longer term shift in market leadership? And how might these steps you've been talking about towards some sort of fiscal agreement in the US affect these dynamics?
Yeah, remember last year when all the technology stocks did brilliantly. So those are the growth stocks that have had a tremendous run for years, haven't they? Really driven by technology to a large extent. Then at the beginning of this year, and towards the end of last year as well, when the reopening started with the virus getting under control, we saw the cyclicals do a lot better. So I guess industrials, materials, those types of things, as the economy looked as though it was getting better. Interestingly, over the last week or so, the big thing that happened after the Fed was that we saw the cyclicals do a bit worse. And I suppose that's just the Federal Reserve tapping the brakes or saying that we might tap the brakes on their support. And therefore, cyclicals maybe not quite as attractive as they were before. Growth stocks, technology stocks taking over again. I'd be surprised if that was the end of the cyclicals, the outperformance of the cyclicals, just because we're going to probably still see decent economic growth for the rest of this year. I mean, the Federal Reserve isn't really slamming on the brakes. They're just talking about maybe hiking interest rates in 2023. So, I mean, if the economy continues to do well, presumably cyclical earnings are still going to be pretty good. And they've only just started reversing some of their underperformance. You know, it's only been a few months and they've been underperforming for years before that. So it's not as if cyclicals are very expensive on any relative basis from a historical basis either. So, you know, I'd say if you still think the economy is going to do better, we're going to continue to see the reopening, cyclicals are probably going to continue to do pretty well, I'd say.
Right, yes, we shouldn't forget that there is still a vast amount of liquidity sloshing around the system, and policy, as you say, is still extremely accommodative. Well, looking ahead, I know you're watching three things in particular this week, Ben. US jobs data, the G20 foreign minister meeting, and UK infection rates. Which of these do you think could be the biggest market mover?
Jobs data in the US is really important because if we're going to see very strong numbers, and our economist team reckons that there's a chance that we do see another big number this latest month, then possibly the Federal Reserve has got to start thinking about even bringing forward those rate hikes that they've been talking about. So that is important. If we just see another similar number to the last couple of months, sort of a 600,000-700,000 type number, I think investors will shrug their shoulders. But, you know, if it's more than a million, I think that could be interesting. That's definitely one to watch. The G20 foreign minister meeting, I suspect they're going to continue to talk about pressurizing China, Russia, all that sort of stuff. It'll be interesting to see if there's a meeting between the two secretaries from the US and China, see what comes out of that. But you know, that's been going on for a while, so I'm not sure if we're going to get any new information. And then the infection rate in the UK, I think, is really probably the most important thing. And that's because it's going to lay out the blueprint for a lot of other countries that have managed to vaccinate a large proportion of their population. Can they get through the Delta variant by allowing it just to go through a population where perhaps the younger people, they get ill, but they don't get hospitalized. We don't see the death rates going up. And therefore, the UK could allow that to happen without putting on more economic restrictions. If that's the case, then, like I say, that's a blueprint for everywhere else. You know, we could be heading towards some sort of herd immunity. We could be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It's still difficult for countries where we haven't got the vaccination rates up, but at least for those sort of US and Europe, this could be a positive trend if we continue to see hospitalizations and deaths kept under control. So that's key.
Finally, I believe that this week you have not just one, but two big numbers you've been thinking about. Do you want to share those with our listeners?
Yeah, well, of course, the biggest numbers are all around the football on Tuesday. Just bearing in mind, I'm in Hong Kong, 12 is the first number because the football is going to be on at midnight. So on a Tuesday, I'm going to have to go and watch it, probably at least 2 hours with extra time on the penalties. And then we're almost certainly, England's almost going to lose to Germany. So that's going to be a miserable Tuesday.
It's a good thing we have a pencil in this podcast for immediately after that. You'd be pretty delirious.
Exactly. So that's my Tuesday. And then the second number is 6, and that's 6 basis points. And that's the we've had this month, we've actually had quite hawkish information, haven't we? We've been speaking about the Federal Reserve. We had some very strong inflation print. And yet the 10-year US Treasury, as of Friday's close, the yield level was 6 basis points below what it was at the beginning of June. So over the course of, you know, almost the entirety of June, actually yields have fallen a bit, which I think is amazing, isn't it? Like I said, given the more hawkish tilt that we've got.
Right.
I think that tells you something about positioning, perhaps, but it also just tells you that investors are quite confident the Federal Reserve is not going to allow inflation to get away. They're still pretty confident that, you know, it's the Federal Reserve have got the reins pretty tight, and we're going to keep interest rates, inflation under control.
Well, that's a very comforting point on which to end this week's call. The next episode of Market Talk will be next Monday, when Francis Watson will return to the hot seat. Ben, thank you for your time today, and thank you to you, our clients and listeners, for joining us.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.